Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Melina Kay's Book Club. And today, yes, we have another new book for all of you. Well, I'm asked to review, and today, unfortunately, my co-host Jade is not here, but I have Patrice. Say hello.
Hi guys.
And the other is Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello. And today we're going to talk about a book that was written by the author Ya Gais. Is that how do you pronounce that? I'm really bad with pronunciation.
Sure. It's,
okay, I'm going to go with Jaisi. But her first name is Ya. She's a Ghanaian American novelist. She was born in Ghana and raised in Huntsville, Alabama. At the age of 26, Ya debuted her book, Homegoing, which explores themes of race, love, culture, and family. And this is the book we're going to be talking about today, called Homegoing. And whilst this book explored these themes, it also confronted the involvement of Africans and the British colony in the enslavement of black people, in this case Ghanaians, during the mid-1700s. So I love this book. I know I always say it every time I read a book and I come and I start talking about it, I'm like, I love this book. But I really, really enjoyed reading this. There was so much content, but I felt like I was going through it quickly and a lot, like fast. How did you girls find it?
I loved it as well. I really, really loved it. I've read books before that have done this, where they kind of span a really long period of time in history and they do it through characters. And I really loved the way they did this. So you kind of jumped along quite a period in time every time you went to a new character, but it was always done in a way that you could catch up with what had happened, both with the characters and then what was happening wider in the world. And I loved it. And I thought some of the characters were really, really good characters and you really felt for them. And I found a lot of time being really, like, moved reading certain stories. So, yeah, loved it.
It's true. I felt the description was so in-depth and so well-written that you could actually imagine the scene that she was describing, and it was really good. I don't know, did you guys sometimes find yourself going back to that? Because in the beginning it has like a family tree.
Yeah, that's true. I've got open now.
Like, I always found myself going back because every to the tree, the family tree, and because whenever it went into a new. So a new chapter means a new character, and they introduce a new character, you're thinking, okay, which lineage,
one does this
which lineage was it coming from? What about you, Pitchy?
No, the family tree was powerful, because as someone whose parents are Caribbean and descended from African slaves, it kind of tells the story of so many Caribbean and African American people, whereas their one lineage is in the Caribbean or America, and their other lineage is in Africa, and they're distant relatives and they'll never kind of know each other or ever connect. But in this story, at the end, thankfully, the two distant relatives connected, and it was a really nice ending, I think, especially for someone who's in the diaspora, because it kind of makes you think, you know, would I ever connect with someone that I share a lineage with? It was really good.
That's what I wonder. I was like, but in the real world, what is the luck? Like, what is really
exactly
the percentage for you to actually come across somebody that is actually a direct link from you, like from the same bloodline?
Although I found it quite realistic in a way, in terms of, I felt like the way both strands went and the kind of paths that each strand's lives went on, it was plausible that that could have happened, because all of those things are stories that you commonly hear happening, no matter at what point each of them ended up going across to America. I feel like it was possible in some way, and I feel like it could possibly happen, because I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about it was that over the span of time, so many different things happened to both sides of the family, but they were similar in a lot of ways as well. But you could see that they kind of travelled the same path, which I kind of felt was really good in bringing the connection between the two strands at all times, because it felt like even on other sides of the world, or, you know, in completely different places, they were kind of going through very similar things a lot of the time. So I thought that it was... I see what you mean in what are the chances, but in a way, I kind of felt like it showed the connections of experiences, even if you may never physically meet the people, you will likely go through the same thing.
I believe that, and I do agree with you on the fact where you mentioned how the pain and everything they were going through is plausible. It is, because at around those same times, like, colonization was real, it did happen, it did occur, slavery did occur, it did happen, and all that, yeah, it is true. And especially, like, it was strange though, because they were going through suffering. That was like one of the themes that got picked up on. Both sides were going through suffering, but it was a different kind of suffering. If you see it, like, a suffering is like a third world suffering. And then, you know, a Western suffering. Do you see? It kind of gave it a different kind of opposites of showing you, like, how, in although one was free, but one was still suffering. Yeah. One of the questions that was asked by one of our general people that come to our book club, they picked up on the whole theme of suffering as well, and they wanted to know you guys' opinions and let us know what you thought. Although the chapters were told from different characters, one main theme was suffering. The suffering had passed on from generation to generation. So she wanted to know, does suffering for Black people ever change with new generation?
That's such an interesting question. That's one of the things that I actually felt I, again, really enjoyed that the book illustrated. It showed that, again, you can be in what you would think to be two different situations, and you would hope one of them would be better.
Exactly.
But the slavery, so to speak, existed on both sides. And it even if it was in a different context, you saw how when... I can't remember the mum's name, but H, and then his mum got captured. So she was born free. So that should never even have happened.
Yeah.
And then you saw what happened to H, and then how he ended up in a slavery of sorts as well.
Yes.
And then only eventually, as it went down through his kind of children and grandchildren, was there eventually some kind of
freedom.
So I would probably say, I think that it goes to show... And this is what, I suppose it's a wider conversation about what people think about race and whether people think about the struggles that the Black community, wherever it is, goes through, whether they think it's true or not. I think something like this is a great illustration of perhaps if you start out and you're kind of descended from a very bad situation, it is so much harder to bring yourself out of it. And I think this is a great illustration in showing that, you know, one side apparently escaped and was in America, land of the free, in this amazing country that was supposed to bring them so much happiness. And again, it really took until pretty much the same point in their family, you know, because obviously at the end we see the two characters kind of in the same generation. It really only by then had they become happy as well. So I think I would say this is a really good way of kind of... It was a good illustration of the fact that it has been very difficult over generations for Black people to get out of the kind of the shackles and all of the, you know, constraints that have been put on them. So I would agree.
I know the focus is on, like, the Black race, but I feel like it tells the story of humanity, because for each generation in anyone's lineage, they deal with set of problems or a set of struggles, and there's always this saying of, you know, the sins of your father, kind of, you have to deal with it. And I think that's true in humanity as well. So whatever your forefathers did or didn't break or didn't get out of, let's say it is poverty, the next generation has to try and
break free from
that issue of poverty. And you see through someone's lineage if they, you know, for example, in poverty, come out of the poverty or they don't. So I feel like it was good at just showing that, but in particular the Black race.
In terms of that as well, I just wanted to say that, because there were obviously the other side, because to make it a bit more clear for those listening, that there were, it starts off with the two sisters, the half sisters, and they've been raised differently. So, and one ended up marrying a black Ghanaian in her village, and the other went off to marry a white man. And then that's where obviously the tree starts, and it starts to grow and everything. And from that, I felt that even the one that was still remained in Ghana, although they were living in some kind of freedom because it's their country, and whatnot, there was still some kind of restraint because they were colonized, and there were certain things that they couldn't do, and they had to still go and fight for. They had to battle. And I like how when it starts to get into obviously like the earlier ages and stuff, the one of I forgot the name of the one that had his mum, his name was Yao, the teacher.
Yeah.
I like two things he said when he mentions how history, because he was a history teacher, and he said history is told by those that have retold it, because you will never know the truth because you were never there. So you only know what have been told. So when you get told these stories, always think of the voice that was suppressed and everything. And I love that quote and that chat part of the book. But the point I wanted to make was where he was talking about how great, like, the Africans or the blacks in America were fighting for their freedom, and then he was like, we need to do a revolution here in Ghana. But then when people, but if you see from it wasn't H, it was Carlton's son, Sonny, from his side, they were looking at Africa and saying we should go to Africa, Sierra Leone, and they were saying they're free, but they didn't actually, but until you know really the depth, because obviously the history is not being told directly from those that are living it, you don't know the truth and everything. So they're saying, these black Americans, they're fighting for their freedom, we should do the same, but how am I going to start a revolution? I'm just a teacher. The other side is saying, I'm so restrained, they're making us sit at the back of the bus, this and that, we should go back to Africa. I want to be segregated, I want to go back to where I know I'm from, Africa. But Africans are also, do you know, and I felt that was so amazing of her, of the author, bringing that to life, because it's true. We tend to like idolize other parts and everything, but really and truly is like, no, they're going through the same battles but just in a different form, like we said earlier. And that's what I quite liked about it. Another Jade had sent this through, and she also picked up on the whole idea of trauma, and she said that she wanted to ask, do you feel like it's relevant to say trauma can pass through generations? But we've answered that, kind of. And she says, where you've moved by the depths of the trauma illustrated in the book, and do you think the trauma can be cited as a cause of contemporary problems in the black community?
I think that's something that's illustrated in the book, because what I found powerful is that from Effie's family, they were all kind of had the fear of fire, and with Marcus's lineage, they had the fear, well, he had the fear of water. So I kind of took that as, maybe he was like, oh, the water, you never see it end. But I kind of thought maybe that was the fear that his ancestor Essie felt when she was about to be not transported, she was about to be taken from her country to America by water. And then they had the other lineage, Majori's lineage, had the fear of fire because of what happened originally in the fire. So I feel like subconsciously trauma can be passed on through generations, and what was significant at the end is that they both confronted their fears, and I guess they broke that
It's true. What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think, being from an Irish background, Irish people have a very similar story to tell. And it's quite known that Irish people struggle a lot with dealing with stuff like mental health and things like that. There's a lot of history of poor mental health with Irish people, and it goes back, and I would probably argue in the same way as it does with the black community, it goes back to the trauma that they've suffered throughout their history and the struggles that they had to fight against oppressors in the same way. And I do feel like it as a people, you can often be bound by that. And I think even if in your particular life it may never have affected your personal lineage, yes, I think as a collective it really does,
it goes,
goes through, yeah, you. So I definitely agree with that. And there was one particular quote in this that I think it was Marcus, the very last character, I think it was him, when he was explaining why he thought he was afraid of water, and it really moved me when he said it was because he was taught, but it was his father used to say that it was because during the slave trade so many either threw themselves overboard or died on ships and were thrown out to sea. And it was, he said something along the lines of, why would I want to go out there when there's so many of us on the ocean floor anyway? And I found that it was, it like brought an actual physical image of it in my head, of all of these bodies out in the ocean, and kind of seeing it in a way of, there's possibly this whole generation and whole nation, continents worth of people possibly out there because of something, such a horrible, cruel thing that happened. That's one of the quotes that really stuck in my head. And tying into this question about how, you know, does trauma pass, if you imagine it the way he imagines it, and it kind of makes you think, you know, that was what his dad was telling him, and if this is the kind of visualizations and stories that you pass on through generations, how do you get over something like that? The thought that there are your ancestors and other people's ancestors just literally out there.
In the Atlantic
never
sea.
Had, exactly, never had any kind of, you know, burial, any kind of moral kind of treatment in any way. So I think that quote, as well as being really moving, and it, you know, really stirs up a lot of images, I think it quite well sums up why it may seem to some people like it can't be gotten over, and why things pass so much.
It's true. I like the fact you brought that quote up, because that triggered something in me, because I don't know if any of you have watched Black Panther, which has just recently come out. But at the end, at the end, when, I don't want to ruin it for people, but at the end there was something that one of the actors said, and I was like, I'd rather die and then be left in bondage in prison, because my ancestor rather jumped off ship than knowing that it was better to die than be left in bondage. And I thought, oh my gosh, that gave me goosebumps, because I was like, it's so true, because to put yourself in a position where you know you're going to die and throw yourself overseas, knowing you can't swim, you can't survive, that's another level of bravery. And everything,
and desperation,
and that's exactly, and knowing that, because you rather not be somebody's prisoner, and you rather not be taken as prisoner as a human and be free in death, and that I felt was like quite moving, and it kind of reminded, obviously, with the whole Marcus thing, but I thought that was just like a nice link and everything. But it's true, and it shows the different ways how in terms of black people think, because he was like, why would I want to be out there, where there's another one saying, I'd rather be out there, you know, because and it's obviously like you said, it's the trauma and what you're going through, how your ancestor, your lineage has gone through, and this led to that. And so I really liked that part of it. There's another question, which was, how did you feel about the relationship between FER and James Collins? He referred to her as a wench, but at the same time, we got the vibe that he was quite infatuated with her beauty. Did you think James had genuine feelings for FER? And what are your thoughts about the fetishization of black bodies among white men?
Someone said in the book that when the British came, they wouldn't have stayed if they hadn't of married the black women. Or they said it in a way, if they hadn't have got a taste of the black women. And I found that was interesting. I do feel like British men were infatuated by the African woman's physique and their beauty. So yes, I think he was, and a lot of them were, but at the same time, if you can imagine, he was away from his wife and children for 10 years at a time. I mean, the most natural thing to do would be to get another wife and have that companionship. He must have been really lonely. So I feel like...
Do you think it was genuine, though?
I feel like it was something that he had to do to kind of keep sane. And I feel like the infatuation and the fact that all of his peers was doing it, but I feel like towards the end, I feel like it turned genuine. I feel like he did have love for her.
Yeah, I was kind of conflicted by their relationship because it almost seemed like, from both sides really, it became this comfortable, almost like normal marriage. That's how it felt. The way it was written, it was almost like, oh, we've settled into married life, and it was a bit strange. And I think on the point of how, and I think it is quite known that a lot of the time it might not necessarily have been just the British men, but whenever the colonizers from the various empires around Europe settled in African countries, the men did marry, or maybe not even consensually, just take mm-hmm. black women.
Yeah.
And I think my problem with that has always been that, to me, it has always been acceptable when that happened, but it was never acceptable any other way around. And even so, that in Africa it happened that way, the same thing happened over in America with slavery as well. You had the slave masters doing the same thing. Often they didn't really go as far as even marrying, they just took what they wanted, that was what happened. I think it's probably more a power thing really than anything. I think especially in the American context, it's probably more to do with they were the masters and they could do what they wanted. But I would say, to go along with the kind of point about the fetishization. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I think it seems almost a little bit too coincidental that it is the white men in these situations are going after the black women, for it to not be something that they want in them and something that appeals to them in a way. And it's always been difficult to know whether it's an attraction that they act out in these situations because they can't do it in, say, in their home countries, or you know, if they were to go back to Britain, and if it's a genuine lust or a genuine affection, or if it's just they can, so they do.
Absolutely.
So it's a bit of a difficult one.
Personally, for me, I think that the way I was reading it and the way I was like taking it in, I felt that he really did, but I don't think he was able to express that because of the fact that he was accountable to his army, to the British, to, you know, to his peers and everything. And I think if it was down to him not calling her a wench, he wouldn't. But I think because it was something they were all doing, and it, you know, and I think, and that's why sometimes, because I don't know, it made it like the author made him seem like a nice guy, because I don't know if you remember when he got a letter from his wife, he felt bad that he didn't want to sleep with I think, is it Afia or the girl? He didn't want to sleep with her anymore. He didn't really want to touch her. And everything, and to sympathize with her, I felt bad for her because it wasn't her fault, and she didn't choose him, he chose her. So in that way, I felt like I kind of sympathized just a bit with him, not understanding. But in the terms of, if you're talking about, you need to be a man and stand up for what you know and you're right, like, you know, he knew that was wrong for him to be calling like the woman a wench or whatever, because it brings the value down and everything, that you're not really a wife, you're just, you know, that mistress or whatever. And it was so, that part of the book, it was so like touching for me, because her sister was actually underneath and everything. And you see, there was a point where she got taken and got raped by one of the British soldiers and everything, and then I think it was her sister. They took her and everything, and she thought she was going to get thrown out or something, because she wanted to take her stone. They had that black stone, and then he took her upstairs and did whatever he wanted with her, and then threw her back in, and it was just so heartbreaking. And it was like they were so close but so far.
There was a bit when he went down to the dungeons, and from her point of view, Essie,
yeah,
she thought that he was looking at her for a very long time. So I felt in that moment
he recognized her.
But then one of the Ghanaian wives that were married to the British soldiers, she was saying, can you imagine how it is for our husbands? They're going down to dungeons every day and they're seeing black women that look just like us. For them to make the transition from that to go upstairs and making love with their wives, it's a lot. So I feel like a lot of them were traumatized by the work. Were traumatized by the work that they were doing. So I can't blame them for wanting to find comfort and love in the form of a black woman. And it's, if you're just surrounded by apples, you're going to eat apples. I don't think there was any white women in that line of work. They were just surrounded by black women. That's they were separated. Analogy. Yeah, they were separated from their home. They were separated from their family. So, of course, they would want some companionship, something to take them away from the horrible work that they were doing. So,
that's true. What I found interesting, though, about the family tree was that the side that actually had the white side in it, if you realise, the surname changed at the end. It went back to an African surname.
Yeah, it did.
And then the black side, where it started so strong with the Ghanaian, it came down to having a white name and everything. And it made me think, because it was like, maybe my family didn't start off as a Kazadi. Maybe we started off as a totally whole different name, and within time it's all been changed and through the process and everything. And that's so, I thought that was just, because I've never thought of it anything like that, because everyone thinks, okay, they have an English or a European name because obviously there were slaves and everything, but really and truly you don't actually know if they really all started off as slaves, because maybe there were some that didn't start off as slaves, but then ended up, having a wife.
Exactly.
So it proper made me think of how things get changed over time, and obviously Yao had said history is only told by those that have power and those that can have the rights to tell it. So we don't know the truth. What we actually know is half the truth and everything. But to conclude with the last question, I want you guys to tell me, why did it differentiate so much from other slavery influenced novels or films? Because we've seen a lot in our time.
I don't think it was a book about slavery. This is the point that I'd like to argue about. So it started off with a statement: "Separated sisters are like a woman and her reflection, doomed to stay on opposite sides of the pond." And that's how the book basically told the story. That they only kind of reunited when both of their descendants met, and that was it. But it told the story of how two separated siblings, and the trauma that they face is passed on to their generations. And it just happened to be the fact that their story was around the era when slavery was taking place. And it didn't just focus on slavery. It kind of channeled through black history. And it didn't do it very quickly, that, you was kind of confused. It just done it so elegantly and... It was
unraveling and everything for you to properly understand, because it's true, it didn't hide the fact that actually some slaves were sold by Africans and everything. It actually opened up from there. It even showed that, and then it started to derive and open up even wider, going over to the Atlantic and things. That is true. So for me personally, I didn't see it as a book about slavery. I definitely saw it as a book about two sisters whose lives and cultures got influenced and got shaken up by the environment around them, by what was happening in society around them. And it was really, I think that's what makes it different from others. I think because of that, the way it's told. And I really enjoyed that. I don't think I have anything bad to say about it. I think the only problem was when they introduced a new character, I kept going, okay, which side is this again? Had to stop and go back. But I think other than that, I think it was well written and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Any last words, you guys?
I think I'd agree with what you were saying before about, I wouldn't even, if I was describing this book to someone, I wouldn't even say it was a black history book or a slavery book or anything like that. It was ultimately just a book about... This could have been any culture who's struggled history. This could have been two Irish sisters, the way I saw it. That's how I felt it. And it could have been, I don't know, in an example, we had the famine in Ireland, and it could have been the family who went across to America because they had to, and then a family that stayed in Ireland. So I felt it was more about... Probably maybe trauma was maybe more of a key theme in this, and as we said, how it followed throughout generations. And I think it was just, I just loved the fact that the history was weaved into it, because I'm someone who loves history. So I thought it was really clever in that way, that through the people you saw how the world changed over maybe 200 years or something. Yeah. So I would say that's why I loved it so much.
I would agree. Like someone that loves history, it was just so like really good just to follow each character, see what they were struggling with at that time, and in the context of the time was just kind of it was just done so beautifully, and it kind of gave you a bit of a history lesson as well, because there were certain things I thought I was knowledgeable about black history, but certain aspects of it, for example, you know, the Ghanaians, some of the villagers' roles in slaving, in trading slaves, you know, I didn't realise that. And then the Fugitive Slave Act, and so many.
For me, because obviously I've also done history at school, and I like the fact about where it spoke about the mine when the enslaved, you know, people, because obviously I knew that at some point, at a certain point in America, they were actually physically selling slaves to become, to work at, on, you know, in their farms, to work in their homes. But I didn't know the aspect where they would arrest people and sell them to work in mines and everything. That one I've never, like, properly heard of. I've heard, obviously, there was obviously that whole mine revolution and everything, but it's like reading it through, it gave me a better understanding of how it kind of worked. At least a bit, maybe not a lot, but a bit of understanding how they were used to use. And so you know when some black Americans say we built these cities,
you can see why they
would say that. So it was a very enjoyable book, and I liked it. She wrote it well, very well, and she was then 26.
I think it was her first novel.
Very
impressive. 26.
I'm 26. I need to wrap myself a book. what are you doing, Melina? But that's all for all you listeners out there. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for coming on, Patrice and Rebecca. It was lovely having your comments and hearing your reviews on the book. And I shall see you all on our next episode. And our next one... might have a surprise for you guys, so stay listening and have a